All right. Hi, everybody. It's RCFB Talk 69. We're going to have a nice conversation with Stephen Garcia, and I'm going to let my co-hosts do that introduction. We're going to have our regular team here of myself, Bob Akhayeri, along with co-hosts JD Moore and Sirius. And we're going to be joined by Stephen Garcia. So we're going to go ahead and set up right now, as we normally do. All right, JD, how are you doing?
Man, I am excited for this upcoming space. Stephen Garcia is one of those legendary quarterbacks that you know him, you love him from his days as South Carolina's quarterback. It's going to be a fantastic conversation. We're going to talk about the Gamecocks, of course, on RCFB Talk 69. That definitely was pretty intentional with our guests for tonight. And I'm very, very excited to be talking with him this evening.
All right, it looks like our guest is up here. Steven, thanks for joining us. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well, man. Just me and my fiance just left dinner and doing this, trying to figure out how the Clemson's going to score some points.
Hey, listen, man, if anything else, we appreciate you coming on for some anti-Clemson programming. Again, there was nothing incidental about tonight's show. I'm really excited to have one of the greatest gunslingers from the Stephen Spurrier Gamecocks coming on board. Of course, you're one of the few guys who has ever beaten a Nick Saban Alabama team. When it comes to South Carolina, there are few people who represented better than you have over the years, and I'm sure that you are really excited after Shane Beamer got his first win of the season this last weekend over the Georgia State Panthers.
Yeah, man, that was exciting to see. You know, I was hoping for a little bit more fireworks, but you know, obviously I've been texting you guys back and forth, and I guess at least they figured out how to cover, so that's good. Now we just need Clemson to cover.
Absolutely, absolutely. But hey, man, you know, with this first game of the season, Shane Beamer still being a relatively new head coach, this is his second full year as a head coach and obviously second year at South Carolina. What have been your first impressions of Shane Beamer as the head coach of the Gamecocks so far?
I mean, he was there when he was actually the recruiting coordinator and the defensive backs coach when I was playing out there. So I got a history with him, and you know, I remember reaching out to him when he was even being considered for the head coaching job a couple of years back. So you know, I was just kind of just doing my part, and he's like, you know, it'd go a long way if you would tweet out and you know, just kind of show your support for me. So of course I did, and you know, I think he kind of embodies the South Carolina way. I mean, he never, it's actually wild. He never changed his cell phone number. He still has an 803 area code on his cell phone. So I mean, it's kind of wild. I mean, I know that he loved it in Columbia, and you know, I think it shows. I think he shows the passion that, you know, you want in a head coach at a university. He brings that excitement level. I mean, you saw him in the game the other night, you know, hopping around when they had two block punts. I mean, that's as they say, that's Beamer ball. So I know I'm excited. I think the whole South Carolina fan base is excited. You know, our offense kind of sputtered a little bit, but you know, for the most part, it's you know, it's game one. And Georgia State is not some, you know, slapdick operation. They Coach Elliott's got those guys kind of fired around. So, you know, it was good to get that win.
What do you think about that mayo dunk that ended last season? Was that something you thought was fun, or were you kind of pro mayo or anti mayo?
That was definitely a weird deal. And did he go on concussion protocol or no?
Oh my gosh, it hit him. I forgot.
Yeah, he kind of got whacked on there a little bit. But yeah, I'm not a huge Mayo guy, but you know what? They won the bowl game, so that's all that matters.
So after building off on that bowl win, though, what have you seen, at least, I know it's still early, at least in this season, in this first game, have you noticed any kind of like difference in mentality or toughness with the team than you did from last year? Because, you know, you more than anybody else can read body language of these players when they're on the bench or they're on a play and they're not necessarily getting the ball. Are you noticing any kind of difference with that, at least in your impressions from this first game?
I think so, and I think it's you know, I actually enjoyed Coach Muschamp. You know, I didn't play for him, but he was you know, he opened up his arms to all the alumni and me, and you know, I got a chance to talk to him all the time, and I actually loved him. I don't know if I would have been able to play for him, so to speak. That military style type coaching, I don't think would suit me very well. That being said, you know, you can tell the difference in the locker room and in the games and practice. It looks like these guys right now with Coach Beamer are it looks like they're having fun. And that's something that, you know, you want to see these guys having. You can't make this, I know it is with the NIL and everything else and how much money these coaches are getting paid and everything else. It isn't, but at the end of the day, it is a football game. And it just looks like Coach Beamer is bringing around that energy and that excitement level. And, you know, guys had to be out there on, you know, on the games, obviously, and, you know, cheering on their team is something you got to have.
Talking about the team and the roster, what did you think about Spencer Rattler's first outing as a Gamecock this weekend?
You know, it was all right. You know, I was on a podcast earlier today, and you know, people were asking me throughout the last couple of days, you know, what I thought about him. And the guy's got an electric arm. There, I mean, nobody with a brain will disagree with you on that. I do feel like, you know, I know the offensive line caught a lot of flack. Okay. The plays where I feel like Spencer could have stayed in there and, you know, made a couple throws downfield. But I think he kind of saw the pressure rather than feeling it and kind of hauled ass out of the pocket. So, you know, I feel like he can definitely improve in that aspect. You know, again, first game jitters, you know, after kind of having his confidence rocked a little bit last year. But, yeah, I mean, I think he played well. I think he's obviously the leader of this team. And, you know, I think the sky's the limit. I think they just need to shore up some of the – you know, they're definitely going to need to play well these next few weeks with Arkansas and Georgia coming to town.
Absolutely, and we got most of that. I think you're driving right now, and that's totally fine. I know you were leaving dinner. So we got just a couple of little blank spots there, but we totally got where you're going with that. You know, what are your thoughts right now?
Yeah,
go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm literally getting ready to pull into my house, so it'll be a lot more clear.
You know, so what are your thoughts of the NIL thing? You know, obviously, you know what it was like before. What are your thoughts on it now, and how could it? I mean, are you happy with it now? Would you like them to change it more, or in one direction or another? What are your thoughts?
Personally, I wish that I was born a little bit later, so that I could reap some of those benefits. That these guys are getting. I mean, these guys are getting paid so much; it's wild. Especially the guys from high school that haven't even played a snap of college football are getting paid and getting offered millions of dollars. I'm happy for them, but at the same time, you know, there's something that you got to be able to prove yourself. And I don't know if these guys are proving themselves that much. And I don't know. I at the end of the day, man, I'm happy that these guys are finally getting paid legally, so to speak.
Well, now, when you say legally, are you implying that there are maybe some other illegal things? I don't know if the statute of limitations necessarily have expired, but if you've got some stories, man, we would love to hear them.
Oh, I mean, there's no doubt. And I, as far as statute of limitations, I couldn't care less. My playing days are way behind me. That being said, I mean, yeah, I think every single program, I mean, every single program had guys getting paid somehow under the table, or their parents getting paid for, you know, something they were doing. I don't know the logistics, and I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, so I'll leave it at that. But you can bet your ass people were definitely getting paid.
If you go ahead and you end up, if you were to be a recruit in this fashion, if you were to be able to be born later, like you said, and you were able to pursue some type of NIL deal, when you think back on what you were like in college, what would be your dream NIL deal if you could go back and say, when you were in college, this is the kind of partnership that I would have wanted?
Probably Anheuser-Busch. They have deep pockets, so I think that'd be a good combination.
No need to stoop down and settle for natty at that point, right? You know, exactly. Open the purse strings and hand it over. Do just pay me in cases of bud.
No, I would have preferred a cold hard cash for sure. But yeah, man, I mean, there's so many different objects and there's so many different companies that I would have been able to, you know, kind of deal with. I mean, truth be told, I got a couple people that are doing some NIL, so to speak, NIL deals right now. I'm a couple companies that have reached out to me to doing some like commercials and some other stuff. So, I mean, I guess it all comes around, but I mean, I think I would have been a lot more valuable, you know, when I was playing 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
When you mention that these, you know, organizations are now reaching out to you now, where do you feel as now as an alumni, you kind of have that special connection as a, not necessarily a booster, but as somebody who can definitely support the program in ways that the average fan can't. What have been some of the opportunities that you've been able to support South Carolina since you've been able to be that kind of very special alum?
Not a whole lot, to be completely honest with you. I've done a few things that, you know, kind of insignificant. Like I said, I don't want to say I helped Coach Beamer get, you know, hired. I don't feel like I did that much. Just sent out a couple tweets and, you know, talk to a couple other teammates that would fire up a few tweets. So, I mean, maybe that's my biggest contribution to the university since I got done playing. Obviously, the way that my playing career ended, I didn't want anything to do with the University of South Carolina. I was pissed off like hell. You know, and I was blaming everybody else instead of myself. And that's just, you know, kind of me being an idiot. But yeah, I mean, I feel like I definitely can help contribute a little bit more, you know, as I'm a little bit more mature, so to speak. You know, kind of help with, you know, recruiting, getting some local talent from the Tampa Bay area, because we are loaded with talent, as, you know, the nation knows. So just kind of helping out some of these guys kind of lean towards going to be a Gamecock as opposed to going to Oklahoma or, you know, Clemson or anywhere else.
Steven, speaking about your tenure at South Carolina, going back to that 2010 season, we won't talk about 2011, but during that 2010 season, you had the, you know, kind of a unique honor, I guess, of being able to face that Auburn team twice, and specifically Nick Fairley and that Auburn defense, which was pretty nasty, had a pretty rough reputation that year. Can you tell us a little bit, like, what that was like getting to having to game prep for them twice in the same season?
What's your policy on language here? Am I allowed to cuss or not that much?
Go for it.
You're a special guest. This is the 69th show. Everybody knows what they're getting into on this one.
Well, yeah, man. Having to play those guys fucking sucked, just to be completely honest. Yeah, they had Cam Newton. I mean, the guy was a machine. And the guys from Auburn on those defensive lines, especially, you know, with Nick Fairley, I mean, I wouldn't say they played exactly nice and fair. I mean, I remember being at the bottom of a pile and I'm getting pinched, I'm getting spit on, I'm getting my freaking nuts grabbed and everything. I mean, it was ugly down there. And I can assure you that other players from around the entire country can admit to the same thing. I mean, when you're in that pile, it is the last place on planet Earth you want to be. So it definitely sucked. But, you know, I think we had a chance to beat them that first time over in Auburn. You know, I remember Coach Berger pulling me out after I fumbled that second time and then put Connor in. And, you know, I was playing well up to that point. But, yeah, that kind of sucked. And then, you know, obviously playing the SEC championship game, again, when he threw that Hail Mary at the end of the first half to they go up two scores, I think that was kind of the dagger in the heart.
Back in the days of playing in the SEC, what was your favorite place to travel to? Obviously, Williams-Brice is going to be always a favorite of South Carolina whenever you're playing. But when you were going on the road, was there any environment that you're like, this is a really cool environment, I'm glad I get to play here?
Well, let me see if my fiance is here. Yeah, she's here. No, I tell you what, and I can see that my buddy Andrew Clifford and an old roommate is listening in, so he's going to laugh at this. Playing in Lexington against Kentucky was really awesome, because I remember warming up and looking over and seeing the dancers. And it was a good thing that I had a girdle on, because they were fun to look at. That Ole Miss was same thing. Very awesome to look at while warming up.
Oh my gosh. I can imagine. You know, I was just curious of these new teams that are coming in the SEC. Were there any, you know, there've been new ones, and obviously got Texas, Oklahoma coming. Are any of those places you would have been looking forward to playing had they been there when you were out there?
Oh, I think Texas would have been awesome to play at. You know, obviously they got a massive tradition. You know, they got I don't even know if they're still doing the Longhorn Network, but I mean, that was before the SEC Network. That was a huge deal. So yeah, I mean, I think that would have been really cool to play it.
So when you actually look at the way that you get to play in Williams-Brice, because obviously that stadium is always going to be the closest one next to y'all in your hearts, but when you look at those traditions, we had Shane Beamer on the show not too terribly long ago, and he was telling us that, you know, some of his favorite traditions in that stadium were some of the reasons why he wanted to come back. When you were a player, and even still to this day, what have been your favorite traditions that happen at Williams-Brice as a Gamecock?
Oh, man, I mean, I think Sandstorm, the birth, you know, was against Ole Miss when they were number four, that Thursday night game. You know, that I would say that was probably my favorite tradition as far as being a player goes. Yeah, that electricity throughout the stadium when that song goes on was absolutely bonkers. And I just, it was intense.
What kind of factor did you have when you would have that type of fan base rooting behind you? Because, again, everything is always going to be bigger in the SEC. But in South Carolina, I don't think people really understand the massive kind of crowd that you get, regardless of whether it's 100 degrees out with 100% humidity. You're always going to get that kind of huge fan base rallying around you as well.
Oh, absolutely. And they can also not rally against you. I can assure you of that. There was plenty of times where there was a lot of boos and a lot of, you know, fuck you, Garcia type of chants going on. So it's not always, you know, sunshine and rainbows when you're playing in front of the home crowd. But, you know, for the most part, man, they're one of the most passionate fan base. And I know a lot of players say this, a lot of people, a lot of fans say this. They are one of the most passionate fan bases that I've heard. I've been around, I mean, anywhere in the entire country. And it's you know, that's why I never left. You know, I had plenty of opportunities to transfer after each one of my five suspensions. And I just wanted to stay there. You know, I believed in, you know, what Coach Spurrier was building. I believed in, you know, our locker room. And as I told Coach Spurrier, I was like, look, man, if you want to kick me out of here, that's fine. You want me to transfer, that's fine. But, you know, you're going to have to make that decision because I came here to play for you. I came here to play for this university. I love Columbia. I want to be here. I want to, you know, be with my teammates, and I'm staying here. I'm locked in.
You know, you've been on the receiving end of an awful lot of trash talk from fans, from opposing players. What are some of your favorites that you heard directed at you over the years?
Oh man, I think my favorite one to this day, and I tell people this all the time, was playing against Alabama in 2009 in Tuscaloosa, and I remember I'm sitting there warming up. And, you know, we got these stupid ass frat kids wearing bow ties and it's 195 degrees outside. And I'm sitting there warming up and like, hey, Garcia, why don't you take your fucking ass on back to Mexico? And I'm like, dude, I'm fucking Cuban. Fuck you.
Oh, my God.
I can't really tell you what else I said, but, you know, because I might get canceled. But, yeah, I said some other words that were cancelable as of now.
Yeah, you got to be proud of that, your own heritage, man. So I got a question. What is your favorite place? Do you eat Cuban food often? What are some of your favorite places, and what's your favorite dish?
Oh, man, the Cuban sandwich is hands down the best of the best. There's ropa villa. I mean, there's plenty of things that that the Cuban people can cook up. So I tend to eat it all, especially, you know, when we have a bunch of family in town.
Steven, looking around the country at the different quarterbacks that we've seen play the past – year, this year, is there one that, you know, really you see him play and you think, man, that reminds me of how I played back in the day in terms of, you know, style, mentality, attitude when you look at these games?
Can you guys hear me better right now? I just put in these headphones. Does this sound any better?
Hey, you're sounding great, my friend.
Okay, awesome. You know, I haven't really seen a whole lot of these SEC guys as of right now, because it seems like every single quarterback is a different face this year as opposed to last year. But I will say, after watching that Utah versus Florida game, the guy from Utah actually kind of reminded me. I don't know if it's because the hair and the beard combination, but, you know, he was in there, and I saw him talking shit to a bunch of the Gator players. You know, he was putting his head down and diving around. You know, obviously the interception at the end was not ideal, but yeah, to answer your question, I feel like that's probably the most, you know, look-alike, so to speak, that I can think of right now.
Well, you picked a great one because Cam Rising, Utah's quarterback, his team nickname apparently is Thick Boy with two C's.
That's hilarious.
It seems like a nickname that you would appreciate.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. The kid can play. You know, I was kind of hoping that they were going to end up winning that game, but. Yeah, I mean, I think that kid could play pretty well.
Steven, we've kind of talked a little bit earlier about NIL deals and some of the ways that the game has changed since you had last played. When we were talking about, you know, if you could have been born a little later and gone through the recruiting process again, what would you think would be something different that you would do as a recruit in 2022 as you would when you were being recruited in the late 2000s?
Oh, man, that's a great question. You know, social media, I mean, I think only Facebook was around back then. So, I mean, it wasn't a huge deal. But right now, in this day and age, and, you know, I help, you know, a bunch of these parents of these kids that I'm training now, and that, you know, pretty much all over the country, is it's like
get your Instagram, get your Twitter, and you just got to be super smart. You can't talk the way that I'm talking on Twitter and Instagram. You can't talk shit to people right now. You just got to be like kind of ultra football all the time, and you got to build your brand up. That's kind of what this whole NIL thing is. You want to build your followers up. You want to build, you know, your specific brand. And at the end of the day, that's how you're going to get paid. So, you know, it's crazy to say you're getting paid for your followers instead of getting paid for, you know, what you're doing on the field, you know, but then you do have the exceptions. You know, you got these five-star guys that are going to Miami, going to Tennessee, that are getting paid, you know, $10 million. They haven't even taken a snap of college football, but yet they're, you know, getting paid that much money. It's freaking nuts to me just thinking about it out loud right now. But, you know, at the end of the day, good for them, man. It's instead of these universities and these coaches and everybody else getting all the money, I mean, why not give it to some of the players? I mean, at the end of the day, they do deserve it.
So does that mean that if you were a recruit today or a college quarterback, we would not see a Steven Garcia OnlyFans account?
Probably not. No, I don't think you would.
Steven, you had mentioned some of the training that you're doing with some of these young guys now. I would love to hear a little bit more about what you are doing with that type of training today. I mean, are these predominantly high school guys that you're working with on mechanics, on branding, on getting into college scholarships? What's kind of the work that you're doing with these quarterbacks for the future?
So, I mean, it varies anywhere from, you know, I got a couple of kids that are 6 years old and, you know, I got a couple NFL guys, a couple CFL guys, and all the way, you know, with college. Sorry, I just dropped something. With high school and then, you know, throughout college. So, but yeah, it's you know, obviously with the younger guys, you want to kind of start from the ground up and you want to do the mechanical stuff. When they get to the high school level, if they don't have that right mechanical / fundamentals and they throw a wounded quail every single time they throw a ball, it's kind of like, hey man, you might need to change positions or think of another sport or get really good at math or something. You know, you just got to kind of be brutally honest with some of these people. And, you know, truth be told, I've lost a couple people because I've tell them that. And, you know, the parents don't like sometimes how I cuss too much, but it's like, if you want your kid to be playing football, you know, long-term, if you want them playing in college football, these coaches are not going to talk gently to you. They're going to rip your ass and embarrass you and curse at you and everything else. So you got to prepare for that. So that's what I'm here for. At the end of the day, I want you to go to school for free. I want you to get paid to play football. That is the ultimate goal. That's why the hell you're out here. That's why you're paying me this much money to train you. So to answer your question, man, yeah, I kind of do a lot of everything. I'm always on my cell phone. I always, you know, phone call away from these parents. It's actually hilarious. One of the moms called me today from a local kid at Plant High School and was like, hey, you know, my son is getting ready to play his JV game and he's kind of nervous. You know, can you please give him a call and, you know, just kind of calm him down and tell him, you know, just kind of give him some words of encouragement. And, you know, I'll Venmo you right now. I was like, sure. I mean, I'll take your Venmo, but I don't need it. That's not what you're paying me to do, but sure. Yeah. Here's my Venmo. Go ahead and throw it at me. But, you know, like I said, I got my phone on me all the time and, you know, that's what I'm here for.
We've seen a lot of offensive development since you were in college in terms of, you know, the schemes that the quarterbacks are running, even the schemes that we're seeing in the NFL with, you know, some more air raid type concepts, making it up to that level and some success in the NFL with it. Has that affected, you know, what you're teaching these younger kids and trying to find, you know, develop a skill set that works with what colleges are going to want to use, but also with what their physical abilities are?
Absolutely. 100%. That is a great question. Great point. Yeah, I mean, I was this, you know, typical guy with the, you know, I'm right-handed, so I would always, you know, from Coach Spurrier's view, it's I'm right foot forward, left foot kindly, you know, tilted back, and then you know, I'm taking a nice typical three-step drop. Those days are over. I think, you know, with Aaron Rodgers and you got these other guys, you know, that are taking these kind of Patrick Mahomes, that are taking these kind of weird-ass drops and throwing it off platform, they're throwing it sidearm, it almost looks like they're throwing underhand sometimes. You just got to be able to do that in this day and age. The age of the 6'5", 240-pound quarterback that just stands back there like a statue, I think, is dead. I don't see that, you know, ever being another, you know, I just don't see another Tom Brady being in the league again. I mean, you even got guys like Josh Allen who fit that big quarterback mold. You know, that guy can run I don't know what he runs, but it looks like he can run a 4-5 and he's mobile. He's moving in the pocket. He's not just standing still, you know, delivering the football downfield. So that's a great question. I've definitely adapted my training techniques and philosophies over the last, honestly, over the last 2 years.
So with that in mind, I know that you'd speak to these parents all the time on what their kid needs to do to get into college. But if you have a kid who is trying to get into high school ball, what's the stuff that you advise those parents on of, hey, if you want your kid to be end up starting in high school, this is what they got to be doing with middle school, with sixth grade ball. What are you kind of telling them in that phase of life?
Well, another, you're kind of, it's wild because I literally just talked to four parents today. We had a workout this morning, talked to four parents today. And I was like, hey, you got to get your kid on Instagram. You got to get him on Twitter. And I don't care if you have to manage his account. I mean, that's fine. I mean, give me his password. I'll manage it for him. Obviously I won't be tweeting anything crazy from his account, but you know, you got it goes back to what I was saying earlier. You want to have these kids have the following base. You want to have them have the videos because you want to have them have a good little account to build their brand. Because as of right now, with the NIL has changed everything. You want to build your personal brand to kind of help you go from, you know, a lower level guy to a mid level guy to a higher level guy. And that's just, it sounds extremely selfish, but you know, at the end of the day, that's what you kind of got to do right now. So yeah, I talked to four parents literally today and I said, you need to create an Instagram account, create a Twitter account and make it strictly football. Don't do anything else about it.
So Stephen, we know we want to respect your time. You've been with us for about 30 minutes now. Where your fans and people who listen to this, where can they find you if they want to find out what you're up to?
Well, they can, if they're ever in Tampa area, they can come to Lutz. They can come by and have a cold beer anytime they want. But for the most part, man, it's, you know, on Twitter and Instagram. And I actually just recently did a freaking TikTok. I hate that freaking application like hell, but I did it anyways. And I did that Florida Gators thing with the Short Bus Shorty song, and it actually blew up. I think it has like 1.5 million views on it so far. So I guess that's kind of cool. But yeah, I'm pretty active on Instagram and Twitter.
So funny. We've been talking about whether or not we got to do TikTok ourselves, and we're like, are we going to chase the youths or not the youths? That's what Florida did the other day. But we're gonna do we chase the youth?
Yeah, no.
Funky doing it. I'm sure yours is excellent, though. Don't get me wrong. You got the right attitude. You're forever young, man. I mean, really.
I hate that app like hell. But you know, I feel like that's what everybody's on now. So I said, you know, why not? So I do like some of these TikToks, and a bunch of guys will like tag me in some of their like training videos. So I'll repost it and stuff like that. But I don't think many college scouts at all are looking at that kind of stuff. But who knows?
Hey, man, yeah. If you're old enough to remember Colt Brennan slinging ball, I mean, that's a sign that you are too old to be on that application.
Yeah, I guess I'm too old. But yeah, man, I do remember old Colt. RIP, man.
Absolutely. Well, Stephen, thanks so much for joining us, man. We appreciate you taking time to join us now. And I guess they're going in halftime over in Atlanta right now. But it was great. Thank you for joining us, man. This was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys, it was a blast. Anytime, let me know.
Absolutely. All right. Well, just wanted to take a second to thank all of you for listening. This was RCFB Talk 69. We're joined by Stephen Garcia. On behalf of myself, Bob Akairi, on behalf of JD and Sirius, thanks to you all for joining us. I hope you all have a great Labor Day, a good evening tonight, and we'll talk to you all later. Now, I'm hang up and listen.